Today we are doing brachos daf mem zayin amud aleph. We left off on the bottom of daf mem vav amud beis. Says the brisa, Tan Rabbanan. Everyone got it? Bottom of mem vav amud beis. Tan Rabbanan. Ein mechabdin. We do not honor people in the following way. Lo bedrachim. Not when it comes to on traveling on the road. Meaning you don't tell someone as you're traveling on a road where there's always an inherent amount of uncertainty. Here, please, you go first. That is not a way to mechabit a person. V'lo b'gesharim, nor on a bridge. You know, it looks a little rickety. You're not sure if it can withstand the weight. Why don't you go first? That is not a way to honor a person. V'lo b'yadayim mizuhamos, nor when your hands are filthy. Meaning you don't tell someone to wash first to be mechabit him when your hands are filthy. Meaning means mayim achronim. Although we the Shulchan Aruch paskins that means up until the last five guys, but then we, as we learned last time, the last five guys, then you are mechabed the gadol to go first amongst the last five. Ravin va'abaye havu ka'azli bu'urcha. Ravin and Abaye were walking on the road. Kadmei chamrei de Ravin lida Abaye. Ravin's donkey pulls ahead of Abaye's. Velo amrlei nezel mar, and he didn't say, he didn't offer him, you know, why don't you go ahead? Amr mi desalik haime rabbanu me ma'arava gusle daite. So he said, wow, this guy became such a balgaiva ever since he left Eretz Yisrael. As Rashi says, mi ma'arava l'fishay ravin ragil. I guess we're supposed to start now. L'fishay ravin ragil lalos mi bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Ravin used to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. V'lomar hu dvarv mishmosh Rabbi Yochanan, would say things over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So anyway, he said, what about Gaiva? He doesn't offer me to go first. He's very turned off by that. Kimata l'pischa d'beknishta, but then they get to the door of the Beis HaKnesses, the door of the shul. Amrlei, Neil Mar, and all of a sudden he's honoring him. Why don't you go ahead of me? Amrlei, vad hashalav marana? And up until this point, I wasn't worthy of your respect. I mean, he said, why don't you, sir, go in front of me? And before that, I wasn't a sir. Up until this point, I was just a nobody. Why did you wait all the way till we got to the Beis HaKnesses before you offer me to go first? Amarlei, he said, no, hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Don't you know what Rabbi Yochanan said? Well, Ravin certainly knew what Rabbi Yochanan said, right? Ravin was the one. What did Rashi just tell us? He would always go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael and to say things over in the name, to bring back the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan, to say over the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, well, you know, I only know what Rabbi Yochanan said, which is Ein Mechabdin Ela B'Pesach Sheish B'Mezuzah. When you offer someone to go first, it's only a kavod if you're offering them to go through a door that has a mezuzah. We're traveling in the middle of the road. I didn't offer you to go first because there were no doorways that had a mezuzah. But now we're at the Beis HaKnesses, so now I offer you to go first because now it's a doorway that has a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, it is? A Beis HaKnesses is a doorway that has a mezuzah? And this implies the isma mezuzah in the lespa mezuzah low, that only if the door actually has a mezuzah you honor someone to go through it. But if it doesn't have a mezuzah, you wouldn't. Elameyata, Beis HaKnesses, Ubeis HaMedrash, the lespa hu mezuzah. Halacha is, a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash do not get a mezuzah. So, Chinami Dein Mechabdin, would you not be Mechabit someone to go in front of you to a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMedrash? Where did he finally honor him? It was by a shul, by Beis HaKnesses. But they don't have mezuzahs. So what does it mean that you only honor someone by a doorway that has a mezuzah? Beis HaKnesses doesn't have a mezuzah. Beis HaKnesses is part of a mezuzah. Ele'ema b'pesach ha-ro'ui le'mezuzah. What he means to say is, a doorway, there are a lot of reasons why something might not have a mezuzah. It might not be a beis dira, it might not be a place where that's considered to be a living place. It wouldn't be chayav a mezuzah. Or it might be a living place. Your home might not have a mezuzah in many rooms because there's no proper doorway. There's no shtei mezuzah somashkov. There's no actual real tzuras ha-pesach. There are a lot of different reasons why something might not have a mezuzah. When we say that you honor someone in a doorway that has a mezuzah, we mean a doorway that structurally would require a mezuzah. Structurally, meaning it's built like a tzuras ha-pesach. It may be that the way you use it is as a Beis HaKnesses or as a Beis Medrash, and therefore it's not going to require a mezuzah. But structurally, that door requires a mezuzah. Practically, that door does not require a mezuzah. Well, over here it does because they use the room for other things. But in a basic knesset based medrash that they use only for a basic knesset based medrash, it does not require a mezuzah. It's very, it was always very odd to me why so many shuls, you know, when they've come out with their dedication list, give $20,000 and you dedicate this item in shul, or that item in shul, the mezuzah. You give X amount of money, you dedicate the mezuzah. That's like giving $20,000 to dedicate that it doesn't have a din of a basic neses. What do you mean? A shul doesn't have a chiv mezuzah at all. So I don't know. Okay. Maybe many of the shuls are used for other things also. So point number one over here, main point number one. We're only mechabit a person to go first through a door that is structurally appropriate for a mezuzah. We're only mechabit someone to go first through a door that is structurally appropriate for a mezuzah, even if it's a shul. So it's not actually getting a mezuzah. Structurally appropriate. Well, we have a lot of main points on this summit, even though it's not such a long gamut. It's a little jumpy. Okay? So on we go. I'm Rav Yehuda ben Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav. Rav Yehuda ben Rav Shmuel bar Shilas says in the name of Rav, Ein hamasubin rasha'in lechol klum ad sheyitam habotzeya. The people sitting around the table are not allowed to eat anything until the guy who made the hamotzi tastes from his challah first. When you are leading the su'uda, so sometimes you want to be generous, you want to be nice, and you don't want to look like you're just grabbing for yourself, so you want to give out to everybody before you eat, just to show that you're being nice. But that's not proper. What a person is supposed to do, if you make the hamotzi, you should eat first, because no one else is allowed to eat ad sheyitom habotzeya, until the guy who said the bracha and cut the bread has the food. Yosef Rav Safra v'ka'amar litom itmar. Rav Safra sat there and he said, that's not what Rav said. Rav said that you're not allowed to eat, that the other people aren't allowed to eat until the botzeya is litom. It's not ad sheyitom. He used the term litom. Says Gemara, l'may nafkamina. What's the difference? Sheyitom, litom, it's all the same thing. Gemara says, you're right, it's all the same thing. But shechayev adam lomar b'lashon rabbo. When you say something over from your Rebbe, you're supposed to say it in the same precise language that he said it in. Even if you're giving exactly the same impression, you're teaching the same content, but it has to be the same language as well. Chayiv adam lomar b'lashon rabbo. The Mishnah says in Maseches Idios that, what does it refer to over here by Beis? Yeah, to Idios, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. That Mishnah tells us that they said in the name of Shmai Vavtalion that Malei Hin Mayim, a certain amount of water, passels a mikveh. So the Mishnah itself says that really, if I tell you, a gallon of milk, do I need to tell you a full gallon of milk? Doesn't a gallon by definition mean a full gallon? Why would they have to say malei hin mayim? Say a hin mayim. Hin mayim means a full hin of mayim. So the reason they said it that way was because they were saying over teachings of Shmaya Vavtalion. What do we know about Shmaya Vavtalion? Anyone know anything about Shmaya Vavtalion, their history? They were Gerim. And as often happens, Gerim have difficulty pronouncing certain letters in the Hebrew language. Which letters do Gerim typically struggle with? The guttural letters. So a he and a chet are very similar to each other in the genuine way that one is supposed to pronounce them, not in the way that we do, but they're very similar to each other. So they had difficulty pronouncing the hey. They couldn't pronounce Shmaya Vavtalion, couldn't pronounce the hey. So when they would give shir, they had to compensate for their speech impediment by adding extra words. If they were to just say an in mayim, everyone would be like, what's an in mayim? No one would have any idea what they're talking about. So they say, malei hin mayim, a full in of water. And everyone would realize, oh, full must be a measurement of some sort. And then they would realize. So the Talmidim knew how to pronounce the words. They didn't have the same speech impediment. They knew how to pronounce the words. But still, they still said, malei hin mayim. Why? Chayiv adam lomar. B'lashon Rabbo. A person is supposed to say in the same language. That's why the shiurim in Yeshivas Brisk in Yerushalayim are still given in Yiddish in the exact words that the Brisker Rav gave them. The Mamash, they say over the same shiurim that the Brisker Rav said. They try to use exactly the same language as much as they possibly can. So anyway, but the halacha that we're learning over here is that you're not supposed to eat unless the botzea eats first. So that's main point number two. Don't eat until the botzea eats first. Until the guy who's breaking the bread, who's making the motzi, eats first. While you're writing that parenthetically, Tosos asks Akasha. It's a fairly famous Gemara in the 10th parak of Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara tells us that someone came to a town and they offered him, why don't you say Kiddusha Rabbah? You remember this Gemara? They offered him, say Kiddusha Rabbah. And he says, I have no idea what Kiddusha Rabbah is. So he figured, well, all Kiddush starts with Bar Pri HaGafen. So I'll start with Bar Pri HaGafen and then I'll see what happens. You know, I'll see if I could read the signals of the crowd. So what does he do? He starts with Bar Pri HaGafen, and what happens? The old guy is gachin, starts bending down to drink it. He's like, must be that Kiddusha Rabbah means just Bar Pri HaGafen. What was that old guy doing? How was he allowed to drink before the guy who said the bracha drank? According to our Gemara, you're not allowed to drink until the guy who said the bracha drinks. So Tosus asked the kasha right here. Tema mehu sabad avri psachim. That old guy in avri psachim. The gachin vishasi. He started to bend down and drink. Alma deshasi kodem mevarich. He was drinking before the mevarich. So says Tosos, maybe that's for drinking. You're allowed to do that, just not for eating. You have to figure out why that would be the case. Why drinking would be different than eating. And then he says, inami yesh lomar delo shasel laharos lo maisa shalei tzorich lomar yoser. Unbelievable footnote that Tosos adds to that story. The Gemara doesn't give you this part. The old guy realized that he didn't know what to do. He was trying to clue him in. He was doing it on purpose to clue him in, Tosa says. So that's why he was doing it. So you don't get, you could read the Gemara there. You don't get that impression at all. But that's what Tosa says. And then Tosa suggests that in Yerushalmi, it says that if everyone has their own kos, or everyone has their own kikar, their own loaf of bread, then you're allowed to. Then you're allowed to partake of what's in front of you before before the mevarich is towing. Okay, back in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. We have a brisa. Shnayim mamtinin zelaza bika'ara. Two people wait for each other when they're eating together. Shlosha ein mamtinin. But three do not. Habotzea hu poshet yado tchila. The guy who cut the bread is the one that gets the first slice. V'imba lachlo kavod the rabbo. If he wants to, meaning not just the first slice, he gets the first food that comes out. He's since everyone's standing on ceremony and waiting for each other, so he gets to go first. How's this quote in Shulchan Aruch? Kuf Samach Zayin Siv Zayin. I brought along Shulchan Aruch here. Kuf Samach Zayin Siv Zayin. Shulchan Aruch says, Reuven shayin notel yadav la'achila v'yakov hayim varich hamotzi. Wow, Shulchan Aruch gives names. Reuven was, normally it's Reuven and Shimon. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Reuven washed, Yaakov was saying hamotzi. Yaakov, okay. Niskavin lahotzi hashomim. V'ach kach nigev Reuven yadav birchal until sidaim. Then Reuven tried to send salon until sidaim. Lo avi hafzik. V'yotzi bevirkas Yaakov v'notzorach lachzo l'varich birch hamotzi. He's yotzi, and he doesn't need to say another birch hamotzi. Why is that this? Abotzea hu poshed yadav tchila. Did I read the wrong thing? Siv Yud Zayin. Oh, no wonder. Yeah, that has nothing to do with anything. Siv Yud Zayin, says the Shulchan Aruch. Habotzeya, poshet yadav tchila l'ka'ara le'echol. Right? The Botzeya is the one that sticks his hand out first, meaning the Balabayas, or the one who was given the right to act like the Balabayas. Since he got that kavod of being the one to be motzi everyone, so whenever any dish is brought out, it gets brought to him first. That's the derech eretz of the Su'udah. Habotzeya poshet yadav tchila. V'im bo lachlo kavod the rabbo, olimi shagadol emenu. But if his rebbe's there, or let's say his parents are there, someone who's gadol emenu, so harishus biyado. He could say, give to Zaidi before you give to me. Even though he's the one that maybe tell the kids when they're serving, because undoubtedly that's what the kids are doing. He can be mechabed Zaidi first, because gadol emenu is allowed to be mechabed first. Rabba bar bar chana, hava asik le librei, be Rav Shmuel bar Rav Ketina. Rabbi Arachana was preparing his son for his wedding in Rav Shmuel bar Rav Ketina's house. Kadam v'yasiv, v'kamasin le'lebrei, he was sitting and teaching his son chasim classes. What are you going to need to know as a chasim? So we're not talking about Hilchas Nida over here. What was he teaching him? You're going to have to know how to make hamotzi for everybody. Because at the chasana, they're going to bring you this giant challah, and they're going to tell you, what? Oh, yeah, okay. So they're going to bring you this giant challah, and you're going to have to know how to make hamotzi. So what are you going to do? So the kamasin lebrei. So he was teaching him. You say the bracha. Wait till everyone says amen, and then start slicing. do not start slicing until everyone says amen. Rav Chista amar mipi rov ha'onim. Not everyone, till the majority of people say amen. Amalei Rami bar Chama, Maishna Ruba, why is it that a majority is, you have to wait for the majority, da'akati lo kalya bracha, because obviously the bracha is not over until the amen, so you need to wait for the majority. Well, miyutanami lo kalya bracha, what about the few people that didn't say amen yet? Don't you have to wait for them too? Isn't their bracha not over yet? So Amalei, Shani Omer, Kolona Amen, Yosir Midai, Eino Elatoa. Yeah, but those people who are taking too long to say amen are mistaken. So you don't have to accommodate people who are making a mistake. Why don't we say the same thing over here? Not sure. Maybe we're assuming if they're taking too long. But maybe in a chinami, meaning most people, you wouldn't even be able to discern in most situations what's rov and what's kol, because everyone's finishing in the same millisecond, pretty much. But if you actually have one that's being marich yosem midai, so that's not appropriate apparently. So main point number three: don't cut the bread until at least most of the people have finished saying amen. You're not supposed to cut the bread until at least most of the people have finished saying amen. Okay, now some halachos about amen. Just one word: amen. Halachos. Tan Rabbanan. Ein onin, one does not recite the following: lo amen chatufa, velo amen katufa, velo amen yesoma. Three types of amens that you're not allowed to do: chatufa, katufa, and yesoma. What are these three things? So says Rashi. Chatufa means that instead of saying amen, you say it so quickly it's amen, like it's a shva under the aleph, a chataf, what we call under the aleph, as opposed to a kamatz under the aleph. That's an amen chatufa. What's an amen katufa? Katufa means it's cut short, that you don't pronounce the nun. No one could tell if you said the nun or not. Amen. So no one could tell if you said the nun or not. You should not do that either. Nor an amen yesoma. What's an amen yesoma? Says Rashi, shaloshama habracha l'shashama shonam amen. You didn't actually hear the bracha. You just hear other people saying amen, so you join in and you say amen as well. Shouldn't do that either. Asks Tosos, and really all the Rishonim over here. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah that there was a Beis HaKnesses that had so many people, it was so large, it was Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim, it was twice as many people as that left Egypt. So a lot of people in shul. And obviously people couldn't hear the chazan, they didn't have a microphone. So how did they know when to answer amen? In the Beis HaKnesses of Alexandria, they would wave flags, and everyone would know to say amen. You know, that was they would wave amen flags, and I guess Yehesh Meir Abba flags, and everyone would know to respond. So says Tosos, isn't every single amen they're saying an amen yisama? They didn't hear the bracha. How can they say an amen? So Tosos says the difference is that in that case they knew which bracha they were answering amen to. They just didn't happen to have not heard it. If you don't even, our Gemara is talking about where they don't even know what bracha they're answering amen to. They're not even, they just hear other people saying amen, so they say amen with them. So those are three types of amen you're not allowed to say. V'lo yizrok bracha mipiv. You're also not allowed to throw a bracha out of your mouth. What does it mean, throw a bracha out of your mouth? Says Rashi, b'mihirus. You're not allowed to say a bracha too quickly. You should say a bracha with some focus, with some concentration. It works to improve your Yirat Shamayim. If you actually think about the words, even if you don't think about the whole bracha, just the words, Baruch Atah Hashem. You say them slowly enough to think about the words, Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam. Forget whatever the end of the bracha is. Just think about those words. You actually think about God 100 times a day when you say 100 brachos. Rav Schwab says in his book on tefillah that people ask, how do you improve your kavana for tefillah? And he says, don't work on improving your kavanah full of tefillah. All you have to focus, Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam. Think about those words, and then everything else will follow. It works. So a person should not just throw a bracha out of his mouth. Benazei Omer, Kala'ona Amen Yesoma, you bun of Yesomim. Wow, some strong words. Someone who answers an Amen Yesoma, his children will be Yesomim, which means that things didn't go so well for him. Chatufa, if someone answers an amen chatufa, he chaps an amen, right? Yischatfu yamav. His days will be chapped, meaning he's going to die young also. Ketufa, an amen that's cut off at the end, yischatfu yamav. His days will be cut off. It all means the same thing. V'kala marich ba'amen, and someone who answers a nice amen, marich lo yamav v'shnosav, will have a long life. It must not mean too marich ba'amen, because we said that that's not appropriate. It must mean marich the way you're supposed to be marich, but not too much. Rav and Shmuel have a yasvi besudasa. Rav and Shmuel were sitting having a meal together. Also, Rav Simi Bar Chia came, have a kamisrahev va'achil, and he was quickly trying to chap to eat a little bit at the meal, because if there are two guys there and there's a third person that comes, it's an opportunity for a zimun. Samalei Rav, Rav says, what are you doing? Ma daitach, letzruvi badan. You want to be mitzarif with us to a zimun? We already finished eating before you got here. So it's not going to work anyway. You could try to finish quickly. It's not going to help. Amalei Shmuel. Shmuel said, I disagree. Ilu maisi li irdalya v'guzlaya la'aba milo achlinon. Let's say they brought out the most delicious delicacies in the world. I don't know what the most delicious things. What's the most delicious thing you had at your Super Bowl party? So they bring out chili? Yeah, okay. So they bring out the most delicious chili in the world. I read somewhere today, a Rav in Passaic wrote an article about Americans' attitude toward the Super Bowl. I think it was, how many pounds of chicken wings were consumed yesterday? More than, I think, 100 times the combined weight of all the NFL teams together. That's how many chicken wings were consumed yesterday. Okay, so they bring out and you've seen these linemen, right? So not Pashut. So Shmuel says to Rav, if they would bring out the most delicious thing, you would still say I'm finished. You wouldn't participate. Of course you would. So that's considered that your meal's not over yet. And since your meal's not over yet, he can join with us in the Zimun. It happens to be normally when you have a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, how do you paskin? Hilchasa ke Rav be Isuri and ke Shmuel be Dini, right? Shmuel be Dini Mamnis. Is this about money? No, it's not about money. What's it about? Brachos. So who do we paskin like? So you would think that we would say, you're finished, it's too late, it doesn't matter what they... But the Shulchan Aruch paskin like Shmuel over here. Why? Because Rav doesn't argue. Meaning, Rav initially said, well, we're finished. Shmuel made the point, and Rav never responded. So it's a shtika kodah. Rav said, you're right. I guess we're not finished. Because as long as you would eat, if they were to bring out something spectacular, then you're not considered to have been finished with the meal. Talmidei de Rav Aviyasvi b'sudasa, the Talmidim of Rav were sitting at a meal. Ol Rav Acha came. Amri asa gavaraba de mevarichlan. They said, "Ah, look, a chashva yid just came. He's gonna lead the benching." Amalu misav risu de gadol mevarich ikur shabesuda mevarich. But he just came at the end. You really think the most chashva person is supposed to be mevarich? Isn't the someone who is actually involved in the ikur suda? Isn't he supposed to be mevarich? Vehilchasa gadol mevarich afal gavdasal b'sof. Halacha is the gadol is mevarich even if he came at the end. So a couple of more main points over here. Number four. Don't answer an amen, chatufa, katufa, or yasoma. Three types of amen, not say. Chatufa, katufa, yasoma. Again, chatufa is you don't pronounce the kamatz under the olive properly. Katufa is you don't pronounce the nun. And yasoma is you don't know what bracha you're answering amen to. And point number five, so long as people would still eat, if offered better food, the meal is not considered over. So long as people would still eat, if offered better food, the meal is not considered over, and therefore, other people could still join in the Zimun with them. Okay, now the Mishnah said, Achol Demai, that if you're eating Demai, you're allowed to make a Zimun on eating Demai. What's Demai? Food you got from an Amar, it's good, and you're therefore not sure whether Meiser Rish or Meiser Sheni and Truma's Meiser was taken. You do know that Truma Gedola was taken, because Truma Gedola, even Amei Aretz take Truma Gedola. So anyway, you're allowed to make a Zimun on that. Ask the Gemara, but hello Chazilei, but you're not allowed to eat Demai. So why would you be allowed to make a Zimun when you ate Demai? You're not allowed to eat it. Ask the Gemara, Kivanti Ba'i Mafkir Luhu L'Nichse Vaviani V'Chazilei. No, because if you wanted, you could have just been Mafkir all of your worldly possessions. You'll then be poor, and poor people are allowed to eat demai. Since the whole din of demai is only a din midrabanan, midarais, you have every right to assume that even an Amma Aretz took trumas and maestros, took all of the maestros that he was supposed to take. It's just that there's a significant enough minority of Amma Aretz that don't do what they're supposed to do. So midrabanan, we're strict. But we're not strict on a poor person. A poor person is allowed to eat demai. So this food is not considered off limits. All you have to do is be mafkir all your worldly possessions, and then you'll be allowed to eat this food. So therefore, you can make a zimun on this food. Ditnan, As the Mishnah says, Machilin Asaniyim Demai, Ves Hachsanya Demai. You could feed poor people Demai, and what's an Achsanya?
Ghost.
Guests. You could feed guests Demai. Why are you allowed to feed guests Demai? They're considered poor. Why? Because they're not with their money right now. They're traveling. So since they're not with their money, they're like Aniyim. In Rav Shech told us that he used to go when he was living in YU. He's still learning in YU, but he used to go many years ago for Shabbos Shuvadrashas to the Bronx, because Rav Gorelick had a shul there, and he would go hear his Shabbos Shuvadrashas, because Rav Gorelick was full of fire and passion, and I guess he gave good drushes. So they would walk to the Bronx on Shabbos, and Gorelick after Shabbos would go over to the Pushka in the shul, he would take out tzedakah money, and he would say, here, take a taxi home. And they're like, we're not poor, how can we take tzedakah money? He said, well, now, you have any money on you? And they said, no. So he said, so you're poor, so that now you can take a taxi, and they would pay it back later. But that was the, okay, so achsan you could also eat tamay. Va'amar avhuna, Tana Beishamai Omrim Ein Machlin Esani V'Achsani Demai. Beishamai holds, we don't give Demai to an Ani or to a guest. So point number six, we can make a Zimun on Demai because you can always make yourself poor and eat it. And then we said, Maiser Rishon Shenitla Trumasav. If Maiser Rishon has had its Trumas Maiser taken from it, and you are eating that Maaser Rishon, you can make a Zeman on that as well. Yeah. Says Gemara, Pshita, of course you can. You did nothing wrong. That's exactly what you're supposed to do with Maaser Rishon. Give the Trumas Maaser to the Kohen, and then the Maaser Rishon is perfectly good for everybody. So says Gemara, Lo Tzricha, Ela Shekdimo B'Shibalin, Vivshmanu Trumas Maaser, Lovshmanu Trumas Gedola. Now what happened was, you quickly chapped Maaser Rishon before you ever took Truma. Normally the order is, you have grain, you first take Truma, then Maaser Rishon. From that Maaser Rishon, you give Trumas Maaser. Over here, they took Maaser Rishon before they ever took Truma Gedola. And then from that Maaser Rishon, they took Trumas Maaser. And even that, even though they never took Truma Gedola from it, we don't consider this Tevel, they're allowed to eat it. Ukid Rabbi Avohu, and this is in line with what Rabbi Avohu taught. Amar Rabbi Avohu, Amar Reish Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shekdimo B'Shibalim. If you took it while it was still in its stalks, before it was fully processed, Pater mi truma gedola. That Maaser Rishon that you took before it was fully processed is pater from truma gedola. Shnema v'ayrosim menu trumas Hashem ma'aser min ha-ma'aser. That when we describe trumas Maaser, we call it ma'aser from Maaser. So we dash from there. Yeah, ma'aser min ha-ma'aser martilach. You will sometimes have to take. You will always have to take Maaser from your Maaser. I mean, you have to give trumas Maaser from your Maaser Rishon. But velo truma gedola u trumas Maaser min ha-ma'aser. You're never going to have to also take Truma Gedola from your existing Maaser Rishon. Amar Rav Papa Abaye, Ihachi, if that's the case, Afilu Hikdimo Bekrinami, then even if you took it after it's been processed, but it's in the silo already, we should also say that you don't have to give the Trumas Maaser. So the Truma, rather, once you already took Maaser Rishon first. Why is it only Beshibalim when it's in the stalks? Amalei Alecha Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Mikol ma'asro sechem tarimu. That from all of your ma'asros, you have to take truma. So we dash from there that sometimes you actually do have to take truma gedola, even from your ma'aser rishon. But umari isa, how do I know that if it's in the stalks, you don't have to take? And if it's in the kri, it's in the silo, you do have to take. How do I know which is which? Well, hay idgan v'hay lo idgan. Because that which is processed already had already become chayiv in truma, so therefore you can't get around it. But that which is still in its stalks had not yet fully become chayiv in truma, and therefore you can get around the truma by preempting and taking Maaser Rishon first. So main point number seven, last one: if the Levi takes Maaser Rishon before the Kohen takes his truma, while the grain was bishibalim, he does not have to take truma. The Levi does not have to take truma from it. But if it was bikri, he does have to give truma. Okay, let us stop there. Whoa, that was a long one.